Well, today we conclude our series on finding yourself in transition based on the book by Robert Brummett. So these past few weeks, we've talked about the paradox of change, that it's both endings and beginnings. We've talked about those first few phases of going through a major transition in our life, a major change. The first of those phases being endings, when something important to us comes to an end. Then we move into that second phase, that very uncomfortable, disorienting time between the ending and a new beginning. And we call that the void. And so today we conclude our series by moving into the third and final phase of any transition that we go through in life, and that is new beginnings. Hallelujah! New beginnings. What a relief to get out of the void and to feel like we've got a fresh start. The new beginnings are cause for celebration, but yet, even new beginnings require some navigational skills. And so let's learn from the example as we return to our story of the caterpillar, who we visited last week. When we left this little fella, he was in his chrysalis, going through metamorphosis. He was in his version of the void, and all of his body structures and all of his cells were breaking down into their most basic level, then to be reformed into something brand new and totally different, a butterfly. Wow, amazing. Well, let's just imagine for a moment how it might feel to be that new form, to be coming out as a butterfly when you were a caterpillar before. On the one hand, it's like, wow, this is incredible. Look at this beautiful new body I have. All these wonderful colors, and I can fly. On the other hand, he might be thinking, wait a minute, what happened to my legs? Where are all my little feet? And I miss those good old days of just hanging out on the leaf eating all day long. The point is that every new beginning has both its gains and its losses. And the gains, of course, outweigh the losses, but yet they are there. And that new beginnings can be rather daunting. They're daunting because they're new. When you step into something new, it's really like stepping into unfamiliar territory without a map. You're just trying to figure out what this new reality is all about. And so we may feel inadequate, we may feel awkward, vulnerable, like we're not sure we're ready for this. But in truth, we're more ready than we think we are. Because in fact, we've been preparing for this for some time, whether we realize it or not. You see, all that time in the void, all of that difficult time in the void, when we're wondering who we are, what are we doing, what are we going to do, what's going to happen to us, that was our time of complete metamorphosis. All that time we were learning life lessons, we were changing in important ways. As we've talked about, maybe we were grieving our losses, connecting with spirit in a new, perhaps more meaningful way, and even delving more deeply into who we are. All of this time, however chaotic it may have felt, was productive. Until one day we feel ready. We're ready for the new. How do we know we're ready? Because we feel it on a soul level. We feel this inner stirring. We feel a little bit of a shift inside. And that sense of readiness to be through with this and to step into something brand new. Now, there are those cases where rather than feeling that we aren't ready when we really are, we think we are ready when we really aren't. There are times when we force a new beginning before it's time. It's like we decide we are going to make something happen through the force of our personal will. Typically because we're so uncomfortable with this process, we want to rush it along. So Robert Brummett calls this a pseudo-beginning. says it's not really the beginning of a new life. It's really living the old life in a new form. So here is the classic example. You come out of a relationship, you move into the void, that time of being by yourself, and it's very lonely. You don't like that. You miss being part of a couple, and so you jump into the next relationship. It's like, this will relieve my pain. But what you find, and you know this is true, what you find is that when you jump that quickly, if you don't do the work you were meant to do in healing from the previous situation, that you repeat the same pattern and the same experience. Again, same dance, different partner. So how can we know if we are really moving into a new beginning or whether it's a pseudo beginning? Well, it's a very easy thing. We can ask ourselves this question. Why do I want this new beginning? If I'm telling myself I must have this to be happy, if I'm trying to force it, if I'm feeling almost a little bit of desperation in there, then I'm actually being motivated by the energy of addiction. I'm moving towards a pseudo beginning. You can feel this in your body if you pay attention. It means that you've not yet come to your center, that you're not yet in your wholeness, and so you are forcing something or seeking something to fill that hole, to fill that space in your life. But if, on the other hand, we're feeling like, it would be wonderful if this would happen for me. I would love it if this would happen for me. But I'll be okay if it doesn't. You see, now you're moving, you're acting from a motivation of preference. It would be lovely, it would be grand, but I know that I'm okay no matter what. You see, in that case, you're speaking from your wholeness, your I am identity. You've come to a place of peace within, knowing that you can make it no matter what. Preferences come and go. Robert Brummett says that a true new beginning occurs only after we have completed the inner work to prepare for it. When we're ready on the inside, we'll create what we are wanting on the outside, or it will come to us. We will attract it to us. He says the best approach is to be ready but not anxious, to be alert but not willful. Continue to pray, to trust, and to know that your life is in divine order. Be steadied by that. And as we move on, if in fact we're being motivated from a sense of preference and a sense of readiness for what's ahead, we do find ourselves moving into a new beginning. And that can be so wonderful. We can feel like, finally, I'm here, I can relax. But guess what? No, you can't. In fact, the exact opposite is true. This is not the time to relax. This is the time to bring everything you've got, to step up your game and give it your all. This is the time. You're entering into a whole new situation here, whatever it is. New way of living, new place of living, new job, new relationship, whatever it is. This is the time to really call forth your inner warrior. Your inner warrior. So let's think for a moment about the Israelites. So the Israelites, as we've been discussing, they were following Moses and wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years before they made it to the promised land. Finally, they made it. But note what happened then. Moses did not lead them into the promised land. Joshua did. Moses stepped back, and Joshua took over. Joshua represents the archetype of the warrior. In fact, Joshua is the Hebrew version of the Greek name Jesus. Both Joshua and Jesus were expressions of the I am consciousness, and both of them led their followers into new beginnings. Joshua in a physical sense, and Jesus in a spiritual sense. They were all connected. They were part of this consciousness of new beginnings and holding that possibility for others. And so through Joshua, we find our way to the promised land in an earthly realm, in the physical sense. And by following Jesus, we find our way to the kingdom of heaven, the ultimate new beginning, that highest place in consciousness where we know on a very essential level, where we have expanded awareness that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that God is always and ever with us. See, both of these leaders were bringing their followers into a fuller expression of life through new beginnings. And so in the same way that the Israelites needed a warrior to lead them, we need a warrior to lead us when we're embarking on something new. Do you know your inner warrior? I bet you do. I bet you can think of very hard times that you've come through, insurmountable odds you may have beaten. You may have felt that you've done things you never dreamed possible, that you overcame obstacles or you survived circumstances that you thought would defeat you or that seemed overwhelming. And how were you able to do that? Because you were able to bring to bear all of the strength and power, determination, clarity, resolve of spirit, and say, I will do this. I will overcome this. This will not defeat me. Your inner warrior in full expression. That inner warrior in you is the I am. It is the presence of God. It is the Christ in you, leading you into your own new beginning. You see, this inner warrior is a part of our very being. And it's just waiting to be unleashed. All the strength, all the wisdom, all the power we need is right there. So how do we unleash it? Well, the key to really tapping into our power and bringing it to bear in a new beginning or any part of our journey is the same thing that is the key to a successful new beginning. And that is commitment. Commitment. You see, when we commit to something, we're saying, I am saying yes to being a creator of my life. I am saying yes to being a cause rather than a reaction to my life circumstances. I am taking charge. We are saying yes, yes to that deep knowing of who we truly are. You know, a lot of times we think about commitments as something we give somebody else. Like, okay, I'll commit. I'll be there on time. I make that commitment. I'll do whatever I say I'm going to do, and that's important. But the most important commitment is the one we make to ourselves because it lines us up. It's the source of our integrity. And when we do that, man, we're just like a laser beam. We're committed, we're focused, and all of our energy and our will and our determination is brought to bear on that which is before us, realizing our heart's desire. Commitment makes the difference. Robert Brummett talks about W.H. Murray. He was a mountain climber who led an expedition to the top of Mount Everest. W.H. Murray had something very powerful to say about commitment. And you can imagine how this comes into play as you're going up Mount Everest. He says, until one is committed, there is hesitance, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no one could have dreamt would have come his way. You know, we talk about divine synchronicities or coincidences or the way things seem to fall into place. Quite often it's because we've made that commitment and the universe is responding. You know, 5 years ago, when I was in ministerial school, boy, can you believe that? Just unbelievable. Anyway, 5 years ago when I was in ministerial school, I saw the job opening for this position, and it spoke straight to my heart. I felt it in my body. I felt it energetically. On some level, I thought, I want to be there. Well, they wouldn't let us ministerial students apply for a job. That was in October. They wouldn't let us apply till March. Ugh. So I asked them to change the rules. I was committed. And lo and behold, they did change the rules. They moved it up to February. I raced off to get my application in. I called Eddie Oliver, please, please, please consider me. Meanwhile, on this end, one of the three finalists had dropped out and taken a job elsewhere. And so they were able to consider my application. You have a sense of the story after that. I visited here. It was love at first visit. Felt completely taken by the consciousness here, the love, the unconditional love and acceptance here. And from there, the higher order unfolded. The Red Sea parted, and I made it to the promised land. But it all happened. I really believe it all happened because I was committed. I was determined. I had my resolve. I wasn't going to let this go. You have that same ability in you. So if you're going through a new beginning or any part of approaching a new beginning, here are a few things that you can remember. And the first is just check in with yourself to make sure that you are being motivated by a preference. It can be a very strong desire, but it's not an addiction. There's no desperation or forcing in it. There's an allowing and a welcoming in it. And secondly, call forth your inner warrior. Bring it. Say yes, yes to this great power within you that will lead you through whatever is before you. And finally, remember, no matter where you are in your journey of transition, that you're never alone. You are never alone. God is with you. God is in you. And God is in the situation you're going through. God is in the transition. There is a divine order unfolding, which someday you will look back on and say, well, wasn't that just perfect? You see, transitions can be tough, obviously. They can be very tough. But with each one we go through, we are moving into a brighter, bigger expression of who we're meant to be. So I'll close with this quote, some of which you've probably heard, but perhaps you haven't heard all of it. This is from Henry David Thoreau. After he returned from his 2 years in Walden Pond, and he said this, "I learned this, at least, by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." Listen to this part. "He will put some things behind, will pass an invisible boundary. New universal and more liberal laws will begin to establish themselves around and within him, and he will live with the license of a higher order of being." We are all moving in to that higher order of beings. So onward and upward, my friends. Let's prepare now for our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let's take a deep breath. Excuse me, a deep breath in. Release and let go. And just feel your body sinking into your chair. And and feel this beautiful energy of relaxation moving through you from the top of your head to the very tips of your toes. I invite you to connect with your heart space, this heart that has been guiding you through your life. Just appreciate for a moment how far you've already come. Well done, good and faithful servant. I invite you to feel the love of God enfolding you. Connect with just that sense of the I am presence in you. This field of possibilities and new beginnings just waiting to be brought forth. Allow yourself to sink into this very special time, communing with spirit and listening with your heart for what is yours to hear in the silence. Allow yourself to bring into mind for just a moment this affirmation. I am a beloved expression of the divine. I am loved. I am supported. I'm okay. I've always been. And I'll always be that way. With hearts filled with gratitude, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.